Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yeah, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician, an addiction medicine specialist who hates his coffee.
Just took a swig of something bitter.
Oh. Yeah. What is that? It's not our Starbucks.
You know, I just realized I had to pour about 18 tablespoons of that whitener stuff, and that should have been my first clue. Yeah, I don't know what the problem is. I don't know, Laura.
Junior.
Don't open the door. The juniors will keep going.
Is this not our coffee? It is our coffee.
Something funky.
All right. Well, then it's just a strong brew, and I'm down with that.
Hoo-wee.
Yeah, okay. Saw Drew last night at the TLC press party.
The Discovery Channel Television Critics Association.
Yeah. And, awesome stuff.
Within moments of my setting foot at this luxury hotel in Beverly Hills, people were like, oh, hear what Adam said? Oh, my God, Adam. Oh, my God. Holy Christ, what Adam did today. What?
I had to do a press. It's not really a press conference, but.
Effectively, that's what it is.
It is. What they do is when they launch a new TV show, although we never did this at MTV, did we?
No. We never did anything at MTV.
MTV would not acknowledge our existence when we were on MTV. Right. We couldn't get tickets to the movie awards and things like that, yet the show was successful, and I think that just made it worse because that aggravated the situation.
Yes. Made them angry about us being there. Angry.
It was as if we're rubbing it in their face because the show was successful and they never got behind it. But when you work on regular TV stations, when you launch a new show, you have to do this sort of press conference. And the network does their little spiel. They do it at a nice, big, fancy hotel. I guess all the critics from around the country fly in. They put them up at the hotel. They get
for 3 weeks.
They get a little continental breakfast.
Oh.
And all the nerds come down from the room starting about 9:30 in the morning. They sit in a big ballroom. And these things are lavish. I mean, they're big ballrooms. They're, you know, this is the Beverly Hilton Hotel.
Yeah.
They have big presentations and everything. I mean, when I did my thing over at Comedy Central,
it's Pasadena,
they had the one I did in New York the Comedy Central show I'm doing coming up in a few weeks. They had like Destiny's Child playing and the Black Eyed Peas and Jessica Simpson and you know Ray Charles. Oh wait, he died. Willie Nelson. Oh, by the way, you want to know the definition of miserable? Willie Nelson up there trying to work off more IRS debt with Jessica Simpson doing a duet of "These Boots Were Made for Walking."
Oh.
He just looked like he wanted to just he looked like he wanted to do. He looked like he wanted to just bust the neck off his guitar so it made just a sharp shard and then just fall on it.
It's an unbelievable story.
He was
that thing is so splintered already.
He's
just fall
so
on it.
Miserable. Oh,
it's an unbelievable story.
Yeah, she's a horrible singer. But anyway, so we did this thing at the Beverly Hilton. Yesterday, I guess it was.
Yeah, last night.
And I did it during the morning yesterday. And it's the usual thing. You go up there and the press asks you a bunch of questions. But here's the thing about the press, and here's what I figured out. They basically have their mind made up before the questions begin. It's one of those things. It's like a movie, a person. It's like anything. You know those movies that you haven't seen that you just know you don't want to see?
Yeah.
And the ones you haven't seen that you're dying to see?
Yep.
Sometimes not based on all that much. I mean, once in a while, it's a layup. I don't want to see Herbie the Love Bug. But then there's 1,000 other movies that come out every year, and I've just decided, I'll not be seeing that.
And by the way, it's not like they're seeing your show. They're just judging you.
Yeah,
they've sort of decided, hey, I'm in this guy, I'm not in this guy.
They hear the premise of the show and decide they're into it or they're not into me or however it goes.
Right.
Here's my point. I'm done kissing ass. If you don't like the show, fine. Haul your raggedy fat ass out of here. Take your croissant and complimentary OJ. Go back up to your room and rub one out and then write something crappy about me, you old ass.
Go ahead.
Just go get it over with.
Yeah.
Why the charade with the questions? My same feeling with cops, by the way, with tickets, which is...
Just give it to me.
either give me the ticket or give me the lecture.
Right.
I don't want the whole song and dance about, you know, why I pulled you over and the ticket at the end of the 15-minute sermon from the goddamn mountain.
Yeah, the reason you pulled me over is on the ticket.
Just give it to me. Let's go. I got to get out of here. I don't want the $185 and the 15-minute delay.
Yeah. I know, but there's a reason. The story here. Now tell the story.
Well, the story is I go out there and I got the TLC executives to my right and my left. And I think one of the earlier questions, maybe the first one out of the gate, the guy's like, so you're doing a home improvement show and you're using your money to work on the house, but yet you're getting paid to do the home improvement show. So doesn't that offset the price of the house? And I said, well, you know, here's the thing. I would get paid to do a TV show no matter what TV show I did. Yeah. And you have a daytime job. If you did a home improvement on your house, a renovation, yes, you would still be getting paid for your daytime job at the newspaper.
What a bizarre question.
Well, at least it was in the realm of a question.
It was right. How does it work?
Question. It was a little jab, a little prod, but okay. Right. He's a reporter. Yeah. He wants to know. So I explain it that way. If you did a home improvement that was going on, you'd be getting paid for your daytime job.
It's like Win Benstein's money kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, I get paid, but yes, I can still lose or make more money.
Yeah.
So then his next comment is, now I know you had a failed sitcom on ABC, and how does that, which was just this crappy transition where he was trying to weave in the fact that I had a failed sitcom into his next question, which was neither here nor there, except for I didn't have...
You've never been on a sitcom.
I've never been on a sitcom. I wish I'd had a couple of failed sitcoms under my wing, but I don't have any failed sitcoms.
By the way, you'd be a millionaire like the rest of them.
Right, and the fact that this guy wanted to weave in a failed sitcom that I didn't have and that he just worded it that way.
Yeah.
Not in your short-lived sitcom, not in your sitcom... The last season, no, failed. He said, you're failed sitcoms. So I didn't have one. And then he started a third question.
So you mean you stopped him and said, hey, I didn't have a...
And I said, I don't have a failed sitcom. Yeah. And then he started a third question, which was, what makes you think, one of these kind of, not really a question, more accusation. He got about halfway into his third sort of insult. And I just said, hey, Dick. Go up to your room and start writing your crappy review now. Get a jump on it. Why should we go through this dance? You pretending like you're going to be objective about what I have to say. Just go up and write your crappy, stilted review that no one's going to read now. Go. Go do it now. First off, you think anyone reads any of your guys' crappy reviews? Who are you talking to? I'm minus a billion stars.
Do you say that?
Yes. I said, you want to know how many minus stars I have and how much money I have and how many successful shows I have that have all been minus, horrible reviews, never going to work? Go to Colorado the next day after it rains at night, the crisp winter night, and look up into the sky. You see those stars?
They're all negative.
That's how many minus stars I have. Meanwhile, everything I've ever done has been popular and made me plenty of money. So let's not pretend that any of this makes a difference. Kiss my ass, you idiots. Go up to your room and start writing your crappy review. Get out of here. Please. Everyone pretending like anyone reads any of these idiots' reviews.
Then I
might listen if the Man Show wasn't so horribly reviewed and didn't become such a successful show. And everything I've done has had horrible reviews. Nobody cares. Nobody reads that. Yeah. Yeah, Loveline. Nobody likes Loveline. Everyone hates everything. Keep writing, you idiots. Nobody reads it. And even if they do, it doesn't make a difference.
To the show, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I was trying to explain that to the... I'm
surprised you didn't bring up Tom Shale. Is that his name?
Oh, I didn't want to get going.
Oh, really?
I just told the idiot, just start writing your crappy review. And let me tell you something about all these reviews, everybody. They ain't worth the paper they're written on.
Well, then the head of communications.
Half of them have a bunch. Most of these reviews just have a bunch of things that are just flat wrong in them. I mean, just inaccurate.
Right. Then the head of communications got in the act.
Right.
He was talking to me. He goes, oh, Adam, over the top. We're going to have to do something about this.
Yeah.
And 5 minutes later, I find him talking to Adam.
Yeah.
30 seconds later, he's joking with you.
Well.
How did that work?
I'll tell you how it works. Here's the deal with TLC. They're not paying me enough money to care. That's the whole deal.
So you don't care.
No, I don't care. I got a show coming out on MTV. I mean, Comedy Central. I got a bunch of crap going on, and they're not paying me enough money. So if you're gonna make me care, then it's not gonna be worth it.
Right.
That's the whole thing.
Right. What did the critic do?
I don't know if he got up and left or he just sat there.
Were you saying like right at him?
I heard. Oh yeah. I heard from other critics that the guy didn't ask another question the rest of the day.
it was a big ballroom, and he was sitting, 60 feet from me.
Yeah.
Wasn't like we're in a room, the size of the studio or something. It's just big open ballroom. So I don't know what happened to him, and I didn't run into him again. But other critics seem to be glad to tell somebody off.
Yes.
And look, I'm willing to answer any questions. He didn't really have questions. He had sort of allegations.
But then I heard somehow it still spiraled a little bit when you mentioned Ray having a vagina.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Right.
I'm trying to mix it up a little.
Yeah, here we go.
That's all. I want to get that party started.
At TLC.
Well, here's the thing. I just did one for Comedy Central, too, on Thursday. You go out on stage, there's a room full of people, yet they in an audience.
Right.
And it's weird when you're just talking and joking and talking and joking, and people are just quietly writing stuff
down. They're not responding,
Now, intellectually, you understand, well, it's not a performance. It's not Night at the Apollo. But yet you go out on a room, a spotlight hits you, and there's 300 people in it, and they ain't doing anything. So there's a party that wants to just go, all right, let's get it going. Yeah. Let's fire it up a little bit. So you kind of crank it up.
Sure.
Get a little rise out of it.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, good times.
What about Ray's vagina?
Uh-oh.
No.
No, Anderson. Well,
long story.
Yeah. No, this is good stuff. I like this.
Well, Ray, my buddy Ray, who is also on this TV
let's
show.
Let's take a beat before you go on. Anderson. Wow.
Anderson.
I like it when people get told off. And this is the part about Adam that I love. But
whoa. Let's take a beat here.
Whoa.
Something you love about Adam?
Whoa.
This is the part of Adam that I totally love. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Anderson. He hates critics.
Anderson's totally high.
Well,
it's got to be.
Well, yeah, but he's high every night.
Oh, that's right. Before I even started on the show, I'm like, I like this guy. He doesn't like Hollywood. He's not afraid of what to say. It's going to be a fun show. And then he turned on me, and it's been miserable ever since.
Turned on you. Anderson.
Here we go.
Anderson's like the goth kids when the jocks beat him up.
I was a jock goth.
Stand in front of the lockers with the eyeliner until one of the jocks notices him and then comes over and punches him.
So Ray's vagina.
Ray's vagina. No, all I was saying was my buddy Ray was out on stage with me because he's on this new TLC show as well, and some critic wanted to know where the female presence of the show was, and I pointed out that Ray has a vagina. And then there's a little gasp, and then Ray yelled, "You want to see?" I'm not sure what he would have done if the guy yelled yes.
Oh, who knows? Ray, it's Ray.
Well,
be fair.
He would have at least done his turtle move.
Or the fruit bowl. Yeah. Anyway, and then Ozzy, you've got a Hispanic guy that doesn't speak English who had his first night in the sun.
Well, this is a good story.
He could spiral, man. He could lose it.
Ozzy, my Nicaraguan friend who I've been swinging hammer with for about 15 years. What happened was is they gave me, TLC gave me two nights in a suite at the Peninsula Hotel.
In Beverly Hills. Which you don't need. You live six miles away.
The Peninsula is so nice, I've never been in it.
Yeah.
All I hear is, five stars. Yeah. Oh, look out. A suite at the Peninsula with spa treatments and stuff, too. Now,
TLC gave you this?
Yeah.
I'm pissed.
Yeah, yeah.
I got nothing from Discovery Health.
I'm a big C-lister.
Oh, I'm really angry now.
Yeah. The TLC basically gave me two nights next door to the Beverly Hilton Hotel at the spa hotel.
It's like a $1,000 little bonus.
It's a suite. Oh, listen, I just was at a suite at the Hard Rock that wasn't that sweet.
Yeah.
And it was $600 a night.
Peninsula's
got to be $700, $800. For the suite, whatever.
Where does Discovery Health rank? Does TLC got more juice?
Look, they like me better than you. I don't know. Here's my point.
I got a show on the air.
Listen. For now.
Yeah, let's be fair.
Okay, here's the thing. I drove by your billboard tonight, by the way.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not there.
Willy Wonka's up there.
It's good.
Yeah. I can still see part of your loafer sticking through the lower left-hand corner, though. If it's any consolation, I think a crow pulled up.
Hey, by the way, it stayed up there about 10 days longer than I thought it was going
to. Yeah. No, not bad. But you took the picture. I had someone take a picture, right? All right. Here's the thing. My buddy Oswaldo lives in an apartment in a bad part of Hollywood with his four kids and his wife on a sofa that
sheet on it. Right, in the last conversation I had with Oswaldo, she had something wrong with her matrice.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The point is Ozzy, I know Ozzy's poor because I've been the only one employing him for the last 5 years plus, and I don't pay him that much. So he don't have a whole lot.
Yeah.
And the guy's from Nicaragua and everything. And I said, well, I'm not going to use this Peninsula spa treatment. I'm not going to use the suite because all I want to do is go home.
Right.
I'm all week. I'm out of the house. I just want to go flop out on my sofa and watch TiVo. And as nice as the Peninsula sounds,
it's not home.
It's not home, and I haven't been home yet.
Yeah.
So I tell Ozzy, you go to the Peninsula.
Yeah.
You use my suite, and you know Ozzy. So basically, it's like that scene from Pretty Woman where Julia Roberts is just sitting in the tub and staring at the flat screen TV and can't believe it, except for it's a fat Nicaraguan guy.
And his wife.
And his wife. Yeah, with, you know, but Ozzy's like,
He was lit up by this.
Ozzy's like 5 foot tall, he's got a gut that sticks out, really sticks, he's wider than he is high, and he has like a Nicaraguan cherry curl.
Yes, he does.
And he's like, not only dark skin, but Indian dark, like baked out in the sun. And he's going out of his mind because it's like champagne and a bed with a down comforter and a jacuzzi tub.
He found his way to the checkout thing on the screen, and in there the sort of a review your account, and he saw the prices. He said he literally almost had a heart attack.
Yeah.
He got chest pain, got short of breath.
He almost
he had to leave. He almost blocked.
So I saw him at Drew, and I saw him at the TLC party last night. It was out of his mind.
Out of his mind. And his poor wife was like dazzled by the whole thing.
And let me just say this:
wondering what happened to her husband. Yeah,
it's easy to get jaded and hardened to this stuff. You just go get some guy, throw him in there, and see how excited he is.
But it's more than excited. On one hand, he seems a little too amped by it.
Yeah, he's fired up.
Yeah, on the other hand, he's sort of like, hey, what's this? A little bit, you know, it's a little bit like so much money, so ridiculous. But then kind of really super turned on by it.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, as long as he doesn't get used to it. And by the way, he's back at his crappy apartment in Hollywood tonight.
Yeah, of course. He's got his kids.
He's good people. Alicia?
Yes?
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
What's up?
They're cold.
That's what we want to know.
Here we go.
Here we are.
I love you guys' show, by the way. Okay. Yeah. I've been sitting on this line waiting for a while.
So uh-oh. Yeah.
She's been what?
Sitting on this line waiting for a while.
All right, let's go, hottie.
I've been seeing you guys for like 20 minutes making snobby comments.
Oh, that's it.
Oh, I know.
Okay, about 2 months ago.
She's got to be good looking. Well, not good looking, just not fat, and from Missouri, which adds up to good looking.
Aren't you? Doesn't she pull out a little abusive twin from you?
Yeah.
So she had an abuse survivor. Add to that.
Excuse me?
Alicia?
Yeah.
And if she tells me it's pronounced Alicia, that's when I go
Alicia.
Between.
Alicia.
And did see the way?
Yeah.
You see why? She even corrected me on my thanking her for not correcting me on that.
Yes, it's good. Couldn't miss an opportunity.
I'll tell you one thing about people that are who make me angry. They never miss an opportunity. Even if I'm like complimenting them, they'll say something.
Yes.
Yeah, and
it's funny how people are that way, right? Right?
Well, it's like when people misunderstand us.
Yes.
It's we're not smart enough to come up on the fly with their type of misunderstanding.
Right. Yes.
It's
somebody reported back to me something that happened last week that was, we were talking to a woman. She goes, I work in a factory. And Adam goes, what do you make? She goes, $11 an hour.
Right.
What do you make?
She said,
what are you making there?
I said, what do you do? She said, I work in a factory. I said, what do you make? $11 an hour.
What?
Now, I would say she was effing with me. But she's dumb. If she was smart, I'd say, wow, this is a genius. This person thinks that this Drew Carey and company don't think this fast
on
their feet.
No way.
All right. All right, go ahead, Alicia. What's your question?
Okay. I broke up with my boyfriend we started dating. We got really hot and heavy really quick. Like, we already said, I love you, and I was...
How old is he, Alicia? Time. How old is he?
He's a year older.
Okay, keep going.
That's another good thing.
And
hold on. Yeah, he's not going to tell me the age.
How old is he? He's a year older.
Right.
See what I mean?
Yeah,
you see how everything is just a marginal. Everything is you're not going to get what you want.
But by the way, let me tell you how you don't disappoint.
Mm.
I could see it evoking more anger.
I get angry.
Yeah,
every
you want
time.
To abuse her. So
can't
there you
say,
go.
Yes, what age? Can't say 18.
No.
Can't say.
So go ahead, Alicia. Hot and heavy.
We did not get drunk because I can't do that because I'm not 21 yet. You understand?
Yeah, the one that you didn't. Uh-huh.
Right.
And he'd been kissing on all my friends, and I told him I didn't care because, we were all not drunk, and it didn't really matter. But he walked in on me maybe I was his best friend, and for some reason, he decided he didn't ever want to talk to me again. But now, he's still really good friends with his best friend, but I guess I'm out of the picture, and I don't understand, you know. Next week, is it
going
to be okay to call him?
All right, Alicia.
I would bet you were going to be out of the picture anyway, Alicia. That's sort of where I think that was going. A. B, I don't understand what kind of relationship it is where he hooks up with other people. And
He didn't hook up with anybody. He kissed one of my friends because I told him to, and he said, then he apologized, and I was like, it's okay, we're not drunk, and it's all okay.
How does not being drunk make it okay? That's the most bizarre thing you've said.
Well, because, obviously... We were drunk, because I'm not 21, so I'm
going to
say not.
This is her code for they were drunk. She's trying to be funny.
Hey, baby, listen, work it out. You'll land on your feet.
No, Alicia, this is...
I got no time for her.
Here's what this is. This is chaos.
Yeah.
It's maybe alcoholism beginning to go. you'll see, Alicia. Just be careful.
I'd like to tag her.
Yeah, you're going down a path that's... it looks bad to us. We're looking ahead down that road, and it's ain't a yellow brick road.
No. No, it's brown.
No, it's brown road, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I was, speaking of yellow, I was listening to your favorite doctor, Dr. Dean Adel.
I like Dean.
Today. Oh, you do?
Oh, no, I like him.
I thought you hated all doctors.
No.
All right.
What I said about Dean is he's an ophthalmologist.
He don't like foreskins and things like that.
He's an ophthalmologist.
All right, so here's the thing. Here's the thing, Drew. He was talking about female orgasmic incontinence and suggesting that there was no such thing as female ejaculate, just incontinence, that it was all urine. No such thing as fluid coming from a woman during orgasm that wasn't urine.
I'd love to see the data that suggests that. I can believe it.
You can.
I could believe it.
You
but
could.
But I don't believe it's true. I believe there is other
things. What about all the hundreds of women we've spoken to that says, look, whatever was on the sheet was not urine. I know what urine is.
Not only that, I've talked to a lot of women that have this experience.
Oh.
And,
oh.
No, I've talked
yeah.
to a lot.
Yeah.
I've spoken to a lot of women.
Yeah.
And they're very clear that it's something different going on there.
Yeah.
And I've also talked to those that have orgasmic incontinence, and they're clear what's going on, too.
But
I'd like to see
that. Let me recreate that conversation that Drew had with many of these women.
Maybe David Allen Greer can recreate it.
1979 to 1985. No. No, that's not urine. Good thing I'm wearing my glasses. Yeah, that's what Drew's talking about. Hannah?
Hi.
You're 20?
I am.
Oh, so lucid compared to our last caller.
To Alicia.
What is up, Hannah?
Couple days ago, my little sister and I, she's 17, we walked in on my father having sex with a woman, in the loft above our garage across the driveway.
Yeesh.
And I haven't told my mother. My sister and I, we haven't had the heart to tell my mother. My dad's an alcoholic, and he's been an alcoholic since as far back as I can remember.
Could you confront your dad and say, hey, this, you know, we know what's going on here?
Oh, yeah, we confronted him the night of, after she left, and the morning after.
Well, now, what happened? You walked in. Did they see you walk in?
No, the thing is, I came home from work, and there was this lady. He met her from the gym or something, and they were talking about antiques. I don't know.
About what?
Antiques.
Mm-hmm. They have a common bond, I guess. And my mom had gone to bed, and I had gone to bed. I woke up in the middle of the night. I noticed that the light on top of the loft was on, and that her car was...
Your mom has got to know this was going on.
And her car was still parked outside?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, my parents, not only is my dad an alcoholic, but hasn't been the best husband, and their relationship has been on the rocks.
Sure. Well, that's what I'm saying. Your mom is just checked out. She knows this is going on. This is going on in her own house.
They've been in process of getting a divorce for a while, but this
they're done. They're
not from this country, though, and so, if she got a divorce with my father, she would have to go back to Japan, and my little sister is still in school, and she didn't want to.
Hold on. She has to go back to Japan?
He wouldn't be able to make it here in the country by herself, I don't
think. Oh, I thought you said he wasn't from this country.
No, she.
She isn't from this country.
Yeah.
She's Japanese.
And by the way, he and she, too close. Too close.
Like push and pull.
I'll write that down. Yeah. Push and pull. Because, I mean, really, you know what I mean?
Yeah. How about in other languages? La and lo. Huh?
Oh, what is that, Mexican? La and lo. That's French?
Yeah.
I'm going to write that down. Yeah.
Ellen Eel.
Yeah.
He and she.
Yeah. All right. So here's the whole thing, Hannah. Believe me, your mom knows this. And if you sat down to inform your mom of this, she could probably inform you of 70 other incidents that you weren't aware of. Mm-hmm. So they're in the midst of getting a divorce. You confronted him.
Yeah.
Stay out of it. You're 20. And what do you, time to move out.
Yeah, I go to school, so I'm not here half the time, but...
Good. Good. Hope your sister can do the same. I'm sorry. Maybe a little Al-Anon for you to deal with the alcoholic dad.
Okay.
That's about all you can do. Hopefully mom understands the depths of what she's dealing with dad. Maybe you and your mom can go to some Al-Anon or get your mom a therapist. Yeah. So she has someone that she can go to build the internal strength and develop the resources to be able to handle living without him, because... That's something she's created. She's created this dependency upon him, and she can move her out of it if she wants.
But listen, all kids who are looking to enter the fray, and I'm trying to think of when it's a good idea. It's rarely a good idea. It's as good an idea as when there's some scuffle, the barn, guys are pushing each other.
You jump in the middle,
hey, dude! Start throwing the dude maintain thing around, and then you get whacked with a beer bottle, and the cop jumps on you, and... Here's the thing. I know it's your own family. Believe me, your mom knows what's going on. Don't get in the middle of this thing. You're going to college.
If you want to do anything, you really are intent upon doing things, do not do it on your own. Rally resources of other adults.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to speak to Colleen. Do birth control pills affect the ability to orgasm?
Good times.
Good times. After this. Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Did you speak to that woman at the party last night that survived?
Yes. No, she was. No. The 18-year-old?
No. The woman from Texas, TLC or Discovery or somebody, whatever the party means we were at last night, is doing some Survivor show.
Yeah.
This chick was lost at sea for. 5 days.
Wow.
And in a dinghy. And she said that, first off, she was nuts. She's manic. She's one of these people, you know, the people you meet when you, actually, it's only women do this, and they're always little, and they're always like spider monkeys. When you talk to them, they're like, hey, you got it. They grab your arm and they almost pinch. Pinch and they go, you got to get a picture. You got to get it. They do it when they call like their husband over. Yes. Harold, come here. They're like pinching in your arm.
Buddy
like,
Ray does that.
Oh.
By the way.
All right. He's drunk. But here's the thing. There's never a fat woman. No fat woman has ever grabbed. It's always sort of gristly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, women.
A little towards speed. A little amphetamine. Yeah.
And it's, to call them trim is sort of nice. They're more stringy.
Lean,
they're like, they're built like teenage boys. And they're, you can tell, you know, the people that the veins in their neck are always coming out, just constantly looks like they're doing a squat.
When you see the striations in their neck muscles.
because they're constantly, when you have a double chin, you don't grab people by the arm because you're not like,
Yeah.
So
I know how you're into those kinds of people too.
It's like, but then they tell you they were lost at sea, and you're like, "What are you gonna do, bitch?" You know. So, she said she was on a yacht, like a sailing yacht, and a big storm hit. Everyone went into the ocean. There's five of them, and they're all in a dinghy.
Oh, the five were in a dinghy. Wow.
Five of them were in a dinghy.
Wow.
And one of them, the first guy, started drinking salt water. Drew. Why does salt water make you go nuts?
It's a heavy, heavy salt load when you're already water depleted.
Yeah.
And so your sodium starts going way up.
And you start getting like delusional and stuff?
Your brain swells. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
You're wacky.
What kind of plan?
You should drink your urine. That maintains
you should drink
the
urine?
Water, yeah.
You know, I would like drink your urine, so
you
drink
trade
mine.
Off. Yeah, yeah.
It's gay, but in a way, it's better.
Well, no, there's some women on the boat.
Oh, drink their urine.
Yeah. Oh, I think of the opportunity.
honey, you missed. Honey, my eye, it's burning. I'm sorry, the water's choppy. Hold still.
Oh, my. So, anyway.
So, they drank the... what kind of plan did God have to make 70% of the planet ocean and then not let anyone be able to drink from this body of water?
Interesting, huh?
And you know, the homos, you know, the homo tree hugger guys are always like, you know, your body is the exact same salt con. Your body is the same percentage of water in it that the ocean. Yeah, but if you drink that, you die.
Yes.
They don't ever tell you that part. Everything's so great.
By the way, you throw up, too, and that you lose more fluids that way.
So, Drew, drink your urine. Don't drink. Drink your urine. And yes. Even on land or? Yeah,
all the time.
I see.
All the time.
Okay.
Remember the nut jobs that were telling us that was such a healthy thing to do
drinking
that the Egyptians did and stuff?
Yeah.
Anyway, you do get into trouble that way because basically, effectively, you're in kidney failure then.
Right.
But it's a slower thing.
Okay.
And it's actually less damaging to you.
So what happened was is they're on this lifeboat. I got this out of the gal's husband because the gal couldn't focus long enough to tell me. Guy started drinking the salt water.
He goes nuts.
And he starts going nuts. And he says, I'm going to my car to get some cigarettes or something. And steps out, you know.
Goes in the water.
Goes in the water, starts swimming, and just gets devoured by sharks.
Ooh. Right in front of them?
Well.
Seconds later.
Yeah, didn't get very far.
Oh.
She just said there were sharks all over the place. Like, I never can figure out the whole shark thing. Like, okay, they eating us? Are they not eating us? Are they more scared of us than we are of them? And they don't pose any threat? Or you're just in some random stretch of ocean. The guy goes in and gets devoured by sharks. So the next guy drinks some salt water. He goes nutty. He starts accusing people of things. And he goes over the thing. And he goes under the boat and gets devoured by sharks. And the husband basically describes this guy getting devoured by sharks for like 2 hours. But, you know, just frenzy, just pulling this body around and, you know, fighting over him. It's all just sort of under and around the boat. Yeah, there's a bummer.
And the two of them, the husband and
the
wife?
I got to tell you this. I'm going to go out on a limb. I don't know what it's like to be out. I would have had trouble masturbating that night. Trouble.
You would have done it.
I would have done it, but I would have had difficulty.
But again, there's fluid there. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I got to eat it.
Yeah, or somebody offered up.
Hey, you want a little floater on that urine tumbler you got?
God.
Yeah.
A little Boilermaker?
It's called a depth charge. You know, when in Rome, you know, we're at sea. Trying to come up with the maritime.
Okay, yeah, what are you going to do?
Twist on
where
it.
Where
so,
name came from?
The next chick had her leg gashed when, you know, the whole rigging came down and everything.
Infection.
She basically gets gangrene or infection or blood poisoning or something. And she just dies.
Really? Right there in front of her?
Well,
the husband
not
and wife?
People. No, husband ain't around.
Just the wife.
Just the wife. And her friend, the only one she knew, the other three people, they was just sort of along for the ride kind of thing, get picked up by some Russian trawler like 5 days later. Wow.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Dude, bad times.
Bad times.
I wonder why she's a little wacky, right?
Yeah.
I'm saying. How long did that happen?
It's been 20 years, so.
Oh, wow.
She probably had a motor before then.
Yeah.
Are you ready to rock?
No, I'm overwhelmed.
Colleen?
Got to take a break.
Hi.
23?
Yes.
What's up?
I was wondering, I have had an orgasm in 3 years, and I have had them before, and it was right before I started taking birth control. When I had my first orgasm, and I was wondering that since I haven't had one since I've been on birth control, and I've had quite a few partners.
Ooh, and quite a few.
Well, and some good ones, and not so good ones. But I haven't had an orgasm since I was 20.
All right, now listen, hold on. Mm-hmm. Yes, the answer to your question is yes, that can affect orgasmic function and libido, sex drive.
Really?
There are other medications much more likely to do that. Are you on any other medication?
No. I mean, other than Allegra when I have allergies.
Okay, well, I was gonna mention antihistamines. They can do it, though not typically, and I'm sure you're not on Allegra all the time,
but you might try
stopping that. It works against you a little bit. I'm really thinking about the serotonin reuptake inhibiting, the antidepressant medicines, things like that are much more likely to. And the birth control pill, which one are you on? Are you on a pill at all?
Yeah, I'm on Levlin 28 and on the same one all 3 years.
Yeah, you got to talk to your doctor about making a change. And it's very difficult to predict what kind of pill is going to affect your sexual functioning. Some women, it's the progesterone component that shuts them down. Other women, it's actually the estrogen. So you got to experiment around sometimes.
Yeah. I was on level 42 for a while.
Level 42 of?
Remember that band? There's a band from the 80s.
Can't remember them. Didn't know them. Yeah. Maybe I did, but I can't remember.
I could come up with a song during the break.
Of one of their songs?
I think I could.
Wow.
And you would know it.
Okay.
All right. Dwayne?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
29?
Yeah.
What's up?
Question, I guess, for both of you. Wondering what is the best way to prevent getting any sort of a disease with oral sex?
Hold on, Drew. I'd like to take this. Do not have oral sex, okay? Okay, that's the best and most effective way.
Abstinence.
The only way you can guarantee, oh, I want to strangle every blowhard with that. I'll tell you the best, the safest, don't have oral sex, okay? Thank you. Thank you for calling. Fantastic. And here's the other thing about when people give those blowhardy answers. I don't mind the blowhard that does it. He's just an idiot. I blame the person sitting across from us. Like, ass, Sherlock.
You know,
you give an answer?
Here's what bothers me is I get that question in the form of, well, how come you aren't advocating abstinence? And what do you think about abstinence? Like, yeah. I'm all for it.
Fine.
Yeah, it's excellent.
Who's going to do it? Yeah.
Not only that. That wasn't the question.
Yeah,
these people wanted an answer.
The question. Right. I'm for not cheating on your taxes and not speeding.
And not dying in a car accident.
I'm for all that stuff.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean it's not going to happen every day. All right, so what about it?
Or that I'm going to be helping people by telling them they shouldn't drive.
Well, is a guy, should you be more worried about getting it from a woman, from giving oral to a woman and getting something, or receiving oral from a woman and getting something?
Other than herpes, I'd be more worried about giving.
Giving.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what else can you get?
Chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, all from giving.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, reason number 126.
To
7
you,
and 8.
26, 27, 28. To use a latex barrier of some type if you possibly can.
I need a note, Drew. All right, so, but no one's going to do that.
Troach is making mint-flavored condoms. Come on.
You know what? I don't want stuff tasting like stuff you chew. Know what I mean? What's gum taste like?
Mint.
All right, so you get some drunk hooker. Next thing you know, she's out of her mind. She's coked out of her mind. She thinks your penis is a piece of Wrigley's.
Oh, you're afraid so true. But you can at least take the latex barrier that's mint flavored and lay it down and do your thing.
I'm not going to pay a hooker to go down on her, Drew.
Well, I'm just saying.
How dare you?
For Dwayne's worried about getting STDs.
Dwayne, are you worried about performing on a woman or being performed upon?
Actually, performing on a woman.
See,
who you with? What do you got going?
A gal I met, and you know, we've gone through the questions and stuff, but kind of want to be safe right now as far as.
No.
Bogus, Dwayne.
Yeah.
Why do I get bogus out of that?
Dwayne,
for some reason, it just sounds like you're...
What 29-year-old guy wants to know if he can go down on some chick he's had a few dates with?
And I don't know, we're both reacting that way to you.
No, I'm not. I'm just... There's just... I don't get it. Like, you've gone out on a few dates with her?
Well, things are getting more physical, and I'd rather err on the side of caution.
Yeah, hold on. Dwayne is just...
Robot?
No, it's not that. He's a conscientious guy.
He's
a little
thoughtful.
Bit of a late bloomer.
Nerd.
He's probably good. Yes, nerd. Dwayne?
Yeah.
Nerd?
Probably.
Okay. What do you do? Something with computers?
Of course.
What do you do?
Technical support.
For computers?
Good time.
Yep.
Shocker. Nice. You can never judge a book by its cover. It's important never to judge. All right, so you do something
with
computers.
Now. Come on.
You got a little late start. You weren't, you know, the captain of the football team in high school and banging cheerleaders and stuff, right?
Of course.
Now you've got a good gig. You're getting on track, and you're starting to get your man wings.
Of course, yep.
Okay, all right.
Trying to dive in, so to speak. Go ahead.
All right, and this but you're not a virgin technically, but you have a low-mileage penis, yes?
Actually, I'd say no.
Virgin.
No, you'd say low mileage penis?
No, not a low mileage penis.
Ooh. Really? A lot of beating off. All right. Point is, go ahead. Look, if she's into you, I guarantee she's okay.
Okay.
I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean once in a while, there are these chicks that like the bad boys.
Yes.
And you got to watch out for them because their vagina has been around the world. Like one of those cartoons when Bugs Bunny hits the fastball and just goes all the way around the world.
They've slept with every girl that he has slept with.
Yeah, that's right. Now, this chick, if she's into you and she's into having sex with you, is probably a little on the tamer side.
Low mileage vagina.
Low mileage vagina.
Okay.
All right, so here's the whole thing. Don't ruin it all by asking a bunch of stupid questions. Just go on a few dates with her, and then when the time comes, do your thing. Wear a condom, but don't worry about dental dams and the reality saran wrap is that and all that.
In a low risk situation, a male on female oral sex is actually a low risk act.
Yeah.
Not zero, but you assess your risk and go accordingly. You know, you're 29, you're an adult. You know, not talking to a 17-year-old, you're a 15-year-old.
You know what math they don't do? You know, they do a thing where, like, when you have sex with somebody, it's like having sex with every partner they've ever. What about when you go down on them? It's like licking the penis of every guy that's ever been there before you? Yep. Or how's that work?
That's it.
See, now it's weird.
Except it's not. Because some of these, it is as far as HIV goes.
Uh-huh.
But all the other conditions that you're likely to get from oral sex are sort of temporal. They don't go on forever except for the HIV and the herpes.
Well, I'll tell you what I've learned from watching these PSAs on HIV. Anyone can get it at any time. White, black, male, female, rich or poor, heterosexual or gay. Anyone at any time. Even if you're engaged in monogamous heterosexual relationships, you still can get AIDS. Just as well, you thought it was all the gay guys just because those are the only ones you know have ever died of AIDS. But it's not. You thought it was just the gays because no one knows a straight person that's got it except for some 8-year-old that got it from a transfusion. Probably drew blood from a gay guy like 10 years earlier and gave it to the kid. But that's untrue, Drew. I've learned otherwise. Because like I said, close your eyes. Think about all the straight people you know who've passed on because of AIDS. Everyone close your eyes. Celebrities, dignitaries, friends, family members, parents, grandparents.
Rock Hudson. No way.
Yeah. Everyone just think about all the straight people that have died of AIDS that you know personally. Just a moment. Yeah. Okay. So now you know. It's an equal opportunity offender, this disease. It could take anyone down at any time.
Well, because it can do that doesn't mean its epidemiology reflects
that. Oh, Drew, I don't want to hear the truth. I'm trying to do a PSA where I'm trying to scare the S out of everybody, and I can't single out a group that is much more likely to get it so that my PSA could actually do some good. I got to say everybody. You just got to say everybody all the time. Everybody. Everybody. It's fine. Everybody. Everybody. You smoke, you kill everybody. You kill yourself, you kill everybody. You have sex, you kill yourself, kill everyone. Everyone's got AIDS. Everyone's got... Either you're dying from firsthand smoke, which is you smoking yourself, or there's secondhand smoke or secondhand heterosexual AIDS. Yeah, it's worse. It's more dangerous. It's more dangerous. All right, there. Very effective. There it is. There's the idea. That's the PSAs we have to hear all goddamn night. Well, we have to include everyone, so you include no one. So it's nothing.
Well, that's young people hearing white noise when you do that.
Yeah. It's like seeing a sign on the highway that says, watch out because deers run across. And then you go, oh, no, you have to include alligators and giraffes.
Right.
And you have to hippopotamuses. And you're like,
because those are animals, and they could go
there's
across.
No hippos here. It's just you have to make all of them. And before you know it, there's a sign with 7 million animals on it. And now you're
just
not
Noah's Ark. Just Noah's Ark.
Yeah, now it just looks like a mosaic of Roger Ebert's head when your headlights hit it. It looks like nobody.
Roger Ebert.
I was watching his review show. It looks like nobody anymore. Okay. And now you actually hit the deer.
Okay. I'm going to stay out of trouble.
That's right.
Please.
We'll take a quick break.
Don't start us.
We'll be right back after this. Yeah, love line. That's what I'm talking about. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. The great Jimmy Kimmel called in during the commercial and explained to Junior.
Don't waste much time. We got a minute and a half here.
Junior.
We'll be right back.
Junior producer Lauren at Level 42, the band I spoke of. Some moments ago, sings Something About You and Lessons of Love. And I think Lessons of Love start coming around to Drew.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you. That was a good band.
All right. Quick call. Come on, quick call.
All right, quick call. Marie?
Yes.
You're 27?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I recently read in Playboy that the use of non-oxynine in condoms is not to be used more than once a day. Is that true?
The World Health Organization raised some questions about whether or not non-oxynine was a good thing or not on condoms. Mm. Originally, it was used as a possible added barrier to HIV.
Oh, really?
Then, yeah, because it killed the virus, they thought. Then,
well, did it?
Well, then some data came out that showed there was a perhaps a slight increase of HIV transmission with nanoxinol 9. Mm. It actually wasn't proven, but they suggested that further study was necessary. In the meantime, many condom companies left the nanoxinol 9 on board as a spermicide to prevent pregnancy, not anything to do with STDs, because it is an added barrier in case the condom fails. Now, that being said, there's really no firm evidence that it does anything deleterious. So there's concern, though, that might irritate things and thereby increase the risk of transmission of a STD. But that has not been proven.
If you're going through, if you're going through two condoms a day with your guy, it's time to get on the pill.
I mean, I agree you guys, with you. Yeah.
You guys are officially an item. If he's banging you 14 times a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
What the hell was that? No, yes, Marie.
What, is this like a, was she doing a sound check or something?
Whatever. We got to go to break.
All right. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll be back for a nice long marathon of me yammering. And I got stuff to say. I got stuff to say, Drew.
As opposed to the last hour?
Yeah. After this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. So, I saw this news story about these guys. They're calling them like the Lost Boys or something. These are all the 16, 17, 18-year-old guys who are living in these crazy polygamist communities that are in like Utah and Arizona.
I didn't hear about this. Tell me more.
Well, so my wife's reading this article, and like, I don't know, People or whatever.
Yeah, I knew you weren't reading it. Yeah.
No, I wasn't reading it, but... I don't like those magazines because it's always how much fun everyone else is having. Then they put the magazine down and they're like, you know where J-Lo went with Mark Anthony of Just Because? Where? South of France. It's always that. Like, look, you know what I want you reading? National Geographic. Yeah, here's a guy. Yeah, he lives on top of a sharp stick. That's otherwise he'll be eaten by army ants. Yeah. Why don't you read about that guy? You don't feel so bad. I'm talking about jewelry that Brad bought at Angelina.
Right.
I swear to Christ, all those magazines, they breed...
discontent.
Envy.
Yes.
Envy, and then that leads to discontent.
Built on envy. You're right.
The first beat is, wow, look how good everyone looks.
That makes me feel... I'm interested. Look how that... Look ooh, how good... aroused by
look,
that.
What are they doing? Oh, and they're on the south... Oh, the French Riviera.
So
look,
when they're in there, they go with them. They're having a fantasy ride with them.
Right.
Drop back in their life.
Then they throw it down.
They're pissed at their
shut the
boyfriend.
Magazine. She looks across the room at me. I've done one of those cupped hand fart things where I'm like trying to wave the fart back up into my face. My wife's like, you know what? You know, Brad, first off, he brought Maddox in, Angelina's Filipino child. I mean, he's like already a father. You know what?
We need to go to China and get a baby.
Yeah, we need to, you know, you see, everyone's walking down the red carpet. Everyone's having a great time at the Hollywood Night Spot. Everyone's doing everything. Yeah. And then the magazine closes, and then now it's on me. I'm telling you, chicks got to start reading National Geographic. I know it's a slippery slope because they might actually learn something about something. And I know how painful information is to the mind of a married woman. But you read that National Geographic, all you read about is the floods and the rains and the torrential rains and the mosquitoes and everyone's having a horrible people sleeping on the dirt and mud huts. And they look at that and they look at you cupping the fart. And all of a sudden you're looking pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah. So
let me partake.
She's reading this thing. And she's very upset because all these 16 and 17-year-old guys have been cast out of the polygamy village, essentially.
Because they're competition.
Right. Now there's trumped-up charges, like, oh, we saw you reading a magazine or kissing a girl or something, but the elders have gotten together and cast you out now. Because,
by the way, this is how primitive man started settling... villages and why one village fought with the other. This is it. This is how it happened.
Right. Now, basically, and as I've explained on the show many times, every cult, and this polygamy is no different, at the seed of every cult, behind every cult, there's a 51-year-old guy who wants to get laid.
Yes.
Behind every cult, there's a guy in his mid-50s who wants to bang 14-year-olds. Yes. And look, blah, I understand him. I mean, I know where he's coming from. I'm just not going to pretend like it's okay.
Right.
These guys just take it a step further. It's like, well, look.
Well, they make it sacred.
Yeah. Here,
it's sacralized.
Let's see. So here's how we have to figure this out. I'm 53. I got a boner. I'm tired of I'm trying to bang in the old leather sack I've been married to for 41 years.
I need a reason for an 18-year-old.
I'd like to get my 18.
Uh-oh.
Old maid. I'm going to get my paws on a nice 15, 16-year-old. How am I going to swing this? That surely ain't going to work in this society. I'll go somewhere, start my own cult. I'll be in charge. I got there first. Everyone's going to have to worship me. I'll kick out the young guys. I got my 71 wives. I'll have 72. Put a nice 14-year-old on the Barbie. Awesome. So they just start exiling these 16, 17-year-old kids. These guys never seen Nintendo, never had an interaction with a human being, essentially, except for their effed up cult.
Right.
Family members, and have no idea what to do now.
Right.
They're just cast outside and just floating around Utah or Arizona.
Oof.
Awesome. So now we got our pick of the 15-year-old litter now. Oh, yeah. And nobody, and whenever they get into this stuff, they never really work the part about just the crux, the motor that drives this entire engine, that drags the train, is always some 50-year-old guy wants to get laid.
What was the point of the article?
That was the point of the article.
They pointed that out.
Yeah, the DA or whoever in Utah, Arizona, basically pointed out that, they're getting rid of the competition because 15-year-old chicks like 17-year-old boys. We've got to get rid of the 17-year-old boys. They're a nice 53-year-old guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, got a couple of gray pubes. That's all right, baby. Keep going. Remember, I'm your spiritual leader. Yeah. Yeah, we can't judge.
Oh, no. How dare you?
No. It's important not to judge. It all makes sense. Yes, Drew?
Always.
Look, this is the angle I'm going if I ever go off the deep end. I'm starting a cult. And the same rules apply.
How will we know that it's you've gone off the deep end?
You'll
start the cult?
You'll see a 15-year-old stuffed down my pants. You'll see just her feet hanging around and flapping around. I'll be walking around with her stuffed down the front of my pants.
There won't be any pants. You'll be in robes.
Oh, yes.
You'll be in robes.
Right. That's right. I'll be wearing like a tunic.
But I'll look under this tunic and there'll be like six pairs of feet.
It's going to be a frock, actually. Yeah. Sort of a
white frock, yes.
Well, I get the white one. Everyone else gets the brown one.
Right.
But sort of the kind of thing a friar would wear. You know what I mean? A lot of free balling, rope for a belt, hood, sacred hood. Hood. That means you mean business.
Mm-hmm.
There's a hood built in. That means you mean business.
Power.
All right. You ready, Drew?
That's serious.
Want to talk to Monica?
Yeah, let's do it.
Monica?
Caller who goes by Monica. There we go.
21?
There you are.
Yeah. What's up?
I used to do adult films. I haven't done it for like a year and a half.
Hold on.
Hold a second, Monica.
I was thinking about...
Adam's not done talking about freeballing.
No. I want to talk about adult films. Don't go anywhere, Monica. I just want to say something that popped in my head. Hold on, Monica. Don't go anywhere, all right?
Okay.
Don't hang up on Monica. I got a lot of adult film questions to ask her. You know what I was thinking about? I was going through my movies and came across Deep Throat.
Oh, wow.
Today. And I thought, and, you know, they had the big, I don't know, 30-year reunion or whatever it was, and it's the highest grossing porn film of all time and all that kind of stuff, and Linda Lovelace this and Linda Lovelace that. But the thing that I thought about today is she's not the only chick in the movie.
Right.
There's some other blonde chick who looked like she was 19 and stoned who's in half the movie.
Really?
And I thought, what horrible luck of the draw for her. Because she's not a porn star. I have not seen her in any other movies, never heard of her name before.
But everyone's seen her in this film.
I mean, look at it this way. You're some blonde chick. You're probably going to some liberal arts college or something. It's 1973. You're 19. You get stoned. Someone offers you $300. And yeah, what the hell? 30 years later, it's done $70 billion in sales worldwide. You know, meanwhile, you're just trying to get married and like get on with your family now. You're sitting around. Your husband's got to see the news. Hey, they're having a big reunion or they're doing a documentary. Or it's like, holy Christ.
I mean, she could bury it. I mean, she wouldn't be identifiable, you know, 30 years later.
No, not walking down the street, but I'm sure
somebody knows,
there's a guy who's married to her and there's just a couple of teenage boys who...
Seen a couple things.
Yeah. On the internet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
yeah.
As opposed to the millions of other crappy adult films that were done in 1973 that just got by everyone's radar. Wow. I'm just saying, she never made any money for it, I'm sure, and just got dragged along for the horrible ride.
Wow.
Heavy, huh?
Yeah, it's heavy. It's scary.
Heavy. I'll find out that chick's name.
Right, died of addiction.
Monica?
Yes.
Or embarrassment. Monica, 21, yeah. Go ahead.
I used to do adult films. I haven't done it for like a year and a half, maybe longer.
How many did you do?
Not a lot. Just a lot of the movies that I did were kind of like high-end. Like, they were the like high-definition films. I didn't do any of like the nasty. You guys
know. Monica.
Hold on with the S word.
Well, she's been to finishing school. We can tell that already. Right. And
what I was thinking about, the other thing I was thinking about is there's so much porn now. Everyone's like, well, if you make a porn, everyone's going to see it because it's going to be on the internet. It's going to be. No, they're not, because there's so much of it now. There's such a sea of it. All the amateur stuff is, I don't know if they'd ever, you know, it's needle in the haystack kind of thing that your stuff comes up.
Interesting.
Yeah?
It's weird.
Think about it.
Yeah.
There's a glut of porn out there. God bless this country. Monica?
Yeah.
Imagine when we pull one of those kids off the abuse ranch over there in Utah with the polygamists, and I show him DVD porn.
Oh, he'll like think he went into outer space or something. Yeah, he'll be like Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, sure. Just, what is this? Oh. He would probably attack the screen with his penis.
Yeah.
61-inch DLP, high def. He gets his dork out and just charges it. What happened to Joshua? Toaster.
Hair dryer fell in the cub.
Hair dryer fell in the toaster.
He didn't know he'd end up exploding electronics.
He was burnt badly. No. Close. Keep the coffin close. Yeah. Imagine showing one of those kids some nice internet porn. 17. Never saw nothing. Yeah?
Yeah, they go crazy.
Freak out. Monica.
Yeah.
So hold back on the S and the F words, will you please?
I'm sorry.
Okay. So what's going on? So you did. So, Adam asked a question you still have not answered.
Honestly, it wasn't a lot, but I don't really know.
Was it 30?
That is a lie.
Yeah,
you do know.
Okay, so it was, I don't know, like 30.
30.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I understand you don't want to count, but you could count if you did.
I really don't want to count.
That's right. Okay.
All right. And
I regret it very much. And
you do?
Yes, I do.
It is just straight sex stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I did girl-on-girl stuff, too, but...
Oh. Anderson wants to know what your screen name was so he can beat off later.
Oh, my gosh. Do I have to say that on the air?
No.
Okay.
No, you don't have to. No.
Did you?
But do me a favor. When we put you on hold, tell Anderson.
It's not so I can beat off. It's just rare that I can put a face to the caller as well.
No, I understand.
Yeah, well, yeah, so you can beat off.
Right.
Not so I can beat off.
Yeah.
I got a dog for that.
Yeah. All right.
Oh.
Anderson. I think he's kidding.
Yeah. All right, Monica. Were you on drugs? Were you doing drugs or anything at the time?
No. Never.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Sorry. Didn't mean to offend your delicate sensibilities, Your Highness.
No, not at all. But okay. Everybody asked me that, and no, I never.
Well,
that's sort of a typical.
You should start saying yes.
I really should.
Okay. Well, what got you into it? Were you dancing?
No, I was not dancing. I was more like I didn't have anywhere to live.
How come?
Family problems.
Were you being beaten or something at home? And why?
Just I wasn't getting along with my mom and her.
Yeah, but not getting along. People don't leave home because of not getting along when things are awful.
Oh, I was very rebellious, and I did leave home. Like, I really was not getting along with my mother, and we would fight.
Okay.
And I didn't like her. Her husband and her now husband, which now they're getting divorced. I didn't.
Was he doing anything weird to you?
No.
And you never got molested.
No.
So you were 18. When you left?
Does not compute.
Someone offered me one of a guy that I was dating, his friend, after we stopped dating, his friend offered me money and was like, hey, if you need to make some quick cash. And I was like, I thought about it, and I thought a long time about it, and I was finally like, you know what? Screw it. And I...
How much did you make?
$1,300.
And, did you know the guy you had sex with?
Yes.
How'd you know him?
It was the guy that I was dating. It was his friend.
Oh, his friend. Wow. That's quite a scam.
No, it wasn't like that. It's just the guy that I was dating kind of screwed me over and like...
No, no, no.
So you're exactly his friend. What the heck?
All right.
What? Oh, so the friend that offered, the guy that offered you, the guy that offered you the money was the guy that you had sex with?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's what I was talking about. That's a scam part.
Oh, boy.
All right.
And Monica, there's got to be some more serious abuse that went down in your home before you left. Maybe not.
No,
well, maybe not immediately at there, but early on, something must have happened.
No.
Where's your biological father?
He's in Mississippi.
And what happened with him?
Yeah. Might be worse in Florida.
Yeah, but what happened when he was around?
Nothing. My mom left him when I was two.
Why?
Drew, well, hold on a second. Let me talk to Drew. Drew, you and I are on the same page with all this stuff, except for I do believe there are sort of exceptions, and I'll tell you why.
Well, when it comes to human behavior, there's always exceptions, and there can be exceptions.
I'm just saying, right? Personally, I know what it's like to be super poor and super naive and have super low self-esteem and be super stupid and sort of be out on my own, and I would have carried drugs through an airport for some Colombian guy.
And when
I would have done,
hi, this is Adam. I'm calling from North Hollywood. I've been keystering cocaine. Really, what happened in your home? Nothing. My parents are divorced. No big deal. Oh yeah, my mom neglected me for 5 years. Okay, there you go.
Dare you.
All right, well there you go.
I'm
just saying that even your history would add up.
Well, yeah, but not add up. Not good enough for you on the radio.
No, it would. It would.
What she's saying that she's saying she didn't get along with her mom. She had a stepdad who didn't get along with. You're looking for sort of black and white cases of abuse. She's not going to give you anything. I'm sure you could build a case if you took a look at her life.
All right.
But no, nothing wholesale, nothing you
nothing
can hang,
wholesale.
Hang your hat on.
Right.
Okay, so Monica, I think it's fair to say that you didn't come from the greatest environment, but there was no overt sexual or physical abuse.
I grew up really well until I was about 13, and then because my mom remarried when I was 5, and he was like my father. I called him dad, and then he died when I was 13, and then she remarried.
Ooh. What happened? What happened to him?
He was murdered.
Oh my God!
Well,
now wait a minute.
Now we're starting to get somewhere. What happened? What happened?
That makes him a drug addict, though.
No, it had. I really don't know, like, what happened. I guess I chose not to understand. I was 13. I just know he was shot, and
shot. Yeah, I mean, did he own a liquor store or
no? My mom and him were separating, and he was
why?
At a lady's house. I don't know what the problems were with the marriage. I don't.
It just all ends up with drug.
My mom and I really don't communicate that well about things like that.
He was at a lady's house. Maybe
Monica, there's a billion things here that you're choosing not to look at.
I know.
This is just the surface of
the
stuff.
He didn't abuse her.
I know, but nothing you can say, oh, there was an explicit act, but Monica living in sort of this denial land.
Well, here's the thing. Drew, would you say it's fair to say this? Okay, if you were sexually abused growing up, that's a 10, and it can get you into porn.
Yeah.
But you could have a nice 3 and a 2 and a 5, and you could add up to a 10.
Yes, but the point is Monica's original thing about the perfect childhood. I don't understand
it. She didn't say the perfect.
I'm just rebellious, just didn't get along with my mom.
Well,
that's what she said. It's like, no. Oh, come on. There's a huge story here.
Well, but Drew, you don't realize this is the norm. This is not the exception. I mean, everyone passes. If they didn't get into a train, you know, if they didn't get in a plane crash or their dad didn't try to kill them and get in a hostage situation, they just go, yeah. You know, I had a regular childhood.
Okay, well, that's not, it may be.
They don't know they have to have something, you know, like I said, they had to be molested by a priest or have an alcoholic stepdad beat the crap out of them.
To understand that there was.
Yeah, nothing concrete.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Monica.
Yeah.
Anyway, so now you're done doing these films.
Yes, and I've been done for like a year and a half. I met a guy. And he knew, I put everything up front, like when I first met him, I told him everything. I'm like, look, before I even talk to you over the phone, I just feel like there's something you need to know. And I told him.
Where'd you meet him? What do you mean talk to him over the phone?
I met him at a club. I was actually, it was like, oh God, it was a while ago. And I met him and I stopped talking to him. We went out a couple times, but I stopped talking to him. And then I got back with my ex and then I broke up with my ex. just a long, stupid chain of, like...
Yeah. All right, so you told him everything up front, so, he'd never be interested in any real way.
It wasn't going to be a surprise. So we recently started talking again, in September, and we've been together ever since. And he told his mom, and he told his sister. And,
Genius.
My mom and my sister don't even know I'm doing a TV show.
Well, no, his mom was totally cool with it. Like, she acted like everything was okay. She's like, it's in her past. I'm not going to judge her for
then,
it.
Then she put it on the sister to act out her evil.
No, the thing is the sister and I, we get along. Like, her sister.
All right, well, then what's the problem?
Why is there a problem then?
Now his mom has a huge problem with me. Like,
it's not a now. She's had a problem all along. You're just finding out about it now.
The thing was, she was so cool with me. Like, she made me feel like she wouldn't judge me, like,
I understand she made you feel that way, but that's not what was going on in her head.
Now I know. Like,
all right, look, let me explain. It's like when a dad's daughter starts dating a guy of a different race, and the dad's uptight about it, but he doesn't want to come across like he's a racist, so he's like, oh no, listen, Jerome's awesome. Give me 5, 10, and that's good. And then it just goes on for a while. Then all of a sudden they start talking about getting married, and the dad, who's semi-racist and trying to keep it under his thing, freaks a little bit.
Yeah.
That's what mom was doing. Mom was being the cool mom, trying to play the cool mom, but obviously that's not her. And when the son is talking about getting serious, and by the way, her spidey sense is right.
Mom's?
Yes. Monica's chaotic. It's not the past. It's what kind of person would choose to go down that path. Yeah, it's all about, she's got the chaotic boyfriends and stuff like that. Her mom, this guy's mom is probably right to be freaked out by you, Monica.
Not because of the adult films, not because of the chaos. Now, if maybe you got a little treatment and sort of made yourself as healthy as possible, so the kind of chaos that she's sensing could come from you may be less likely to emerge.
I told his mom.
That's the kind of thing you could do.
So now where's this guy stand?
Well, we're still trying to fight for this relationship to go on.
And by the way,
we're fighting. How old is this guy?
He's 25.
He's 25. Yeah. He doesn't live at home, does he?
No.
Who cares what his mom thinks?
He might as well. Okay, he's a mama's boy, so he might as well live at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that mom's got to have a little bit of Monica in her, too, for him to be into Monica. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Monica's good looking, so that's why he's into her.
Yeah.
Hey, Monica.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. This may not be the guy you marry, and that's fine. I have a few pieces of advice. One is
Get pregnant.
Do not get pregnant.
A.
B, C, and D, do not get pregnant. But E, don't start every relationship with, let me just unpack my bags here and show you what I got. By the way, what format do you have? You have DVD or are you a VHS person? I got something. Sit down. Yeah. I got something to show you. Don't do that. And I don't care what your past is, whoever it is. The people you start seeing want to feel like they met you today and they want to feel like you were born the day before.
Right.
This is when you came into their life, and that's the day you became.
Now, your history is something you are responsible for, and ultimately you're going to have to tell them. But why don't you go ahead and take care of the internal issues that cause you to make those choices?
Yes.
Then that history has much less power.
I don't even know if I agree with eventually you're going to have to tell them. You're going to have to sort it out for yourself.
Let's put it this way. You work on that with your therapist. I mean, you therapy, you decide you want to keep it underground and deal with the consequences if they emerge. That's what you do.
Right.
But you, with your chaotic head, making those choices by yourself is going to result in a disaster, whether you tell or don't tell.
All right. And if this guy listens to his mom, then there's nothing you can do about it. But
he's going to rebel against
you. You don't want to be with a 25-year-old guy who listens to his mom anyway.
Nor do you want to get married at 21.
Yeah. Did your mom ever give you any advice?
Not really.
Never tried to tell you anything?
No.
Would you listen?
No.
But you would pretend like you were listening,
yes.
Right? I'm not even sure if I would pretend like I was listening.
No, you wouldn't.
My mom would be like, son, and I'd go, yeah, yeah, yeah!
Awesome. Usually you'd tell her to move along.
No, I would. Thankfully, no one in my family dispenses any advice.
Or talks to you.
I think they realize if they did dispense advice, it would be met with laughter. Because it just doesn't work well when you go like, Listen, son.
You start right there. Son.
when you've loved and lost like your old man has. And let me tell you something about business. Oh, by the way.
Got $5,000.
Got $5,000. I got to fly myself back to Philadelphia. Let's see my brother. Yeah, this is when it's like taking advice from a hobo. Really, taking advice from my family would be like taking advice from homeless people. Huh? Relationships, finances, whatever.
These people are a wealth of wisdom. You never know.
Yeah.
Been riding the rails for a long time. You know the folklore, Adam.
At least they can play guitars.
Harmonicas.
Harmonicas. Let's take and can start a fire and eat their shoe. They boil it long enough.
And they can twirl the shoelaces. It's good.
Let's take ourselves a little break. A little Germany or Florida. All that after this. Yeah. System of a Down, everybody. Those are my boys. Hardest rocking Armenians in Glendale.
I'd say so. Reliably.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Those guys are great guys, great band, and should be on the show sooner than later. We will hop back to the phones and speak to Jose, who's 18. Jose?
Yeah.
You have a Germany or Florida for us?
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right.
Germany or Florida.
Hold on, Jose.
First the theme.
Germany or Florida. Germany or Florida. Germany or Florida.
That is just so I don't get any nasty emails.
I got to hear from David Allen Greer, not from any fans that enjoy that. I like the other David Allen Greer.
The
scatty one.
Yes, I like that one,
it's got
too.
A little jazzy, scatty.
It's only 25 seconds, too,
little
which is nice.
Little finger popping.
Yeah, let's
on.
Hear it. There.
Is it Germany or Florida? Hey!
I like the...
Germany.
Keeps going.
It's another refrain.
Florida. Oh, no, it has an ending where it goes off. Big ending.
It leaves no room for the actual Germany or Florida.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a nice crescendo. I like that one.
Right up.
Yeah. All right, Jose, go ahead.
I like this one.
Florida. Germany or Florida.
I wonder which one he actually wants us to play when he writes me those crappy emails. Don't worry, I'll hear about it by tomorrow.
Please, we should find out. All right, Jose, go ahead.
First of all, Adam.
Shut up!
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah. Taking over Marco Polo this summer. Yeah. Summer's heating up, Drew. Go ahead, Jose.
Okay. For years, a man has asked his wife for a hand job, but every time he asks, the wife refuses. So after 3 years, he gets fed up and drugs his wife. When she is knocked out, he tries to give himself a hand job with her limp body. But when she comes to, she leaves and files for divorce. Can't see, it's kind of dark, sorry. A week later, she went missing, and when the police bust down his door, they find him trying to give himself a hand job with his dead wife's body, Germany or Florida.
Wow.
A hand job?
Well, the point is...
Why don't you just...
You know what? It feels German to me.
It feels German to me, too, because it's so macabre.
It's macabre.
Florida, a little more... Trailer park, yeah, Jeremy Lamar macabre.
Florida usually has
guns
and themes that involve speed and things like
swamps
that.
Swamps and trailers.
You know, rigor mortis might give that hand a nice shape too, nice form.
Yeah.
Oh, Anderson, well, you're on your game tonight.
That's what I do. Is I'll take the deceased hand, wrap it around a mop handle, and then tape it there. But I'll go ahead and lube it up so I can get the mop handle out.
Sure, sure.
And then when rigor mortis sets in, it's set right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's nothing like cold digits around the Johnson.
Oh, hot. All right, so we're going Germany.
Yep.
We went Germany last time, didn't we?
And I think you did. I don't think I did, but go ahead.
Germany.
It's Florida.
Oh, no way. Oh, man.
And Adam, just to give you a heads up, it was an Asian.
What? Asian. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
No way.
Wow, my compass is spinning. Thanks, Jose. I'll send you out a windbreaker. Here's the thing about the Asians. They have range.
They do.
They're rangier people than the Jews. That's for goddamn sure.
Because when they go south,
ooh, look out.
Deeply. You got the Khmer Rouge.
When they make their move, they make their move.
Deep.
Yeah.
You got Thailand, you got Khmer Rouge.
Yeah, here's the thing about the Asian cultures. They keep it in check pretty good. They're pretty good at that. But they're like that super quiet guy who just freaks. And once the super quiet guy freaks out, he's the guy who's got that limp. He's holding the guy's limp body and bashing his head against the curb like he's spinning out. There's no worries. Asians, they snap, they go.
Yeah.
Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why you don't see any in-betweeners with the Asians. You either see the guy with the thin tie and the horn-rimmed glasses just doing a lot of bowing and agreeing, or you got the guy with the squatted Acura and the green spiked hair who looks like he's out of a video game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There aren't the in-betweeners.
Right. Yep. Agreed.
Know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. We're on that one.
All right. Kristen?
Hey, what's going on?
25. What's up?
I was just wondering, I've heard you make a couple, well, actually, Dr. Drew, make a couple comments here and there about Dr. Phil, but I haven't really gotten the whole scoop on what you guys think about him, and, you know, I'd kind of like to find out.
I'm actually softening my thing on him.
How are you?
Yeah, I am.
Why?
Just because I don't know, I've been sort of thinking philosophically lately about people and change and what they need to hear to get them to change. And
Drew, sorry for cutting you off, but is it fair to say this? What the Dr. Phils of the world or the Dr. Lauras of the world even the Oprahs of the world, the message they deliver is a sort of no-duh message to us.
Right.
Like, we don't like, it's like, look, you want to lose weight? Well, you got to stop eating like a horse.
You got to decide to stop eating weight.
Start working out like an athlete.
Right.
And you got to decide not to be fat.
And that's what makes me angry and drives me insane, which is they miss the complexity of the reality of human behavior and change.
But don't stupid people just need to hear that?
Maybe. And maybe everybody needs to hear that. And that's why I'm sort of softening my point of view. I guess I was struggling with some patients recently and thinking, God, if I could just, you know, send them to a boot camp, they really would benefit from that.
Well, here's the thing with I think all these so-called experts that you see on television who are marvelously successful, much more so than we are. Their message is sort of seems like no duh if you have a couple of brain cells to rub together, but it's certainly, you can't argue with it. Like, you want to lose weight? Well, you got to start exercising and stop eating so much.
What troubles me is that it really makes an extraordinarily complex phenomenon, meaning the functions of the human brain, spiritually, emotionally, socially. It simplifies it too much. And let me give you an example. The idea would be like, we're taking one of my heroin addicts and just convincing them they need to decide to not do heroin.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you listen, they've all decided that. They're dying not to do it. They're dying of this
disease.
You got
to decide not to chase that dragon,
It's nothing to do with deciding. But on the other hand, you do got to decide to trust other people and to take direction. And so there is certain volitional quality in this. The question is, how do you get people to that point? And that's a very complex
issue. Okay, you understand, I can't not eat for you.
What do you think, Kristen?
I cannot exercise for you. I cannot physically put you on a treadmill and manipulate your legs. You're going to have to do that on your own.
What do you think, Kristen?
You know, I was just asking because I'm a psychology major, and anything having to do with, you know, the therapeutic process, I'm interested in. So I do watch it, but I actually almost got on his show. He was going to do a debate, Dr. Phil Day or whatever. And I had left an email, and they called me back, and I exchanged photos, and they never ended up having
What was the debate on?
I'm sorry, what?
What was the debate on?
Well, he had said some remarks. I know you guys are probably going to roll your eyes. It is about marijuana. And just basically, he was saying that if you're making a decision that's going to harm yourself in some way or your body, that you don't have business making a decision about anything. And, like, I just think that he doesn't say anything about, like, people smoking cigarettes or drinking alcohol because those are legal.
Yeah, that bothers me, this very broad, sweeping
dogs are pack animals.
Yeah, that's that.
They're pack animals. Your job is not to be your dog's friend, your
on the other hand,
buddy, or your dog's lover.
Kristen, what troubles me a lot, and I've been thinking a lot about
there
lately.
There are no straight lines in nature.
And maybe you'd appreciate this. Hang on. Which is that most people sort of respond to the media and sort of the ambient culture, and really ultimately, even if they're thoughtful and smart people, ultimately they react in fairly primitive ways. And people need sort of this sort of these platitudes and these people telling you, I can show you the way, just follow me. And they like that simplistic approach that unfortunately is just not
you're
real.
Either on drugs or you're not. I don't want some pothead flying the airplane that I'm in with my children.
On the other hand, he's not saying bad things, right, Kristen? He's not advocating things. Yeah. So, you know.
Hey, look, these guys are all just doing the warmed over crap stuff. My wife forces me. She forced me over our whatever break we had some weeks back. Oh, 4th of July. You got to watch Oprah. You got to watch Oprah. She's got a fitness guy on. It's her fitness guy. He's going to explain. You know, it's like, okay, Oprah's fitness guy's on. What's it? Okay, now, you can't stop eating. Okay, that's not an option. Now, here, you know, first move. Here you go. Now, see, if you're an alcoholic, you stop drinking. And if you want to quit smoking, you stop. But you can't stop eating. Where's my notepad? Because I was going to live off... What I was going to live off is my own urine. It was going to be a cocktail of my own urine injected with some CO2 cartridges.
Oh, okay, you know, just
give it a little schvitz. Frizz. Yeah. A little fizz on there. Yeah. So you can't not eat. Okay. Now, you should eat smaller but more frequent meals throughout the day. Oh. You
never heard that before.
You don't do that one where it... 12:30 at night, I just start rolling out the cart after cart.
Sundays.
Like Henry VIII. I just undo my belt, and I just sit there just gnawing on giant legs and racks of lamb. So not one huge gluttonous meal, but smaller meals throughout the day. And, you know, it's about moderation, and it's not about cutting things out wholesale.
Exercise.
No, nobody said you didn't have to ever have a cookie, but don't have 100 cookies. Have 2 cookies, and then you got to exercise. So I'm looking at my wife going, yeah, no S. No, really? She's brainwashed you, too? Of course this is how you lose weight. I got a goddamn book written by a caveman would tell you this, how you don't eat so much dinosaur and run further to track him down.
There you go.
That's how you lose weight. Swing a bigger club.
Bring it on.
And then the dog whisperer guy's on there, and he's some little homo from, like, Nicaragua, and he's explaining, and this crazy guy sounds like a chihuahua, and he's explaining you have to be the boss of your dog.
It really has to be the affective content, the way they make people feel about what they're saying, because what they're saying is nothing. So it's got to be something about how they feel.
Guy's basically explaining that it's not your job to be your dog's best friend. The dog, you know, you can't give the dog mixed signals. You can't tell him no one time and then no the other. And, you know, you can't throw him off the sofa and then smother him with love and give him treats. And it's like, it's just sort of basic 101. It's like somebody telling you how to hump or something. It's just, look, everyone knows how to do that. Leave him alone.
Yeah.
I don't know how you sell books. I don't know how Oprah. I'm sure Oprah falls in love with you because you heap praise on her, make her feel good about herself, and never question her. But the decorating guy is on there.
The guy we had here last week, what did he write? The book about, he's not just that into you.
Yeah. I asked the guy 3 times, and he was a nice guy, but I asked him 3 times. Give us something that we wouldn't know.
Yeah.
You saying, I've called the guy 10 times, he's not returned my call, is not the things books are made of.
Right. But it is, apparently. Well, the headline, anyway, the title.
Evidently, it is. Are people that goddamn stupid?
Primitive. I wouldn't call them stupid, but we seem to respond primitively. We just do. Anyway, let's take a break. Come on.
Maybe, Drew?
What?
Maybe there's something comforting about experts telling you stuff you already knew or felt that makes you feel smart and like an expert yourself. There's nothing worse than having some expert tell you a bunch of crap and go, wow, no, I never thought of that.
I think it's a little subtle, a little more subtle. It's like, I get that. Oh, do tell. You're an expert telling me things that I can easily digest, and that makes me an expert now.
You know what? I think it's both. I think it's them going, that's, you know what?
Yeah, I did that.
You know what?
Yeah.
For many years, I toyed with the radical theory that less calories and more exercise would burn weight. But I had not had it substantiated until an expert.
That's
finally
right.
Total vindication.
I am the smartest man alive.
All right.
Vindication.
All right, we got to pay.
The gay guy in the unitard agrees with me. Awesome. And she has her decorating guy in there.
They can do it. You can do it.
They're all the same thing. It's like, look, I feel like you're home. You know, for me, I entertain, but I entertain casually. I like to have people. I never heard anyone go, you know what? I entertain very formally. I have a big stick up my ass. And I'm weird. Some guy puts a can down. Coaster's got to be under it. I'm uptight, baby. You know what I mean? It's like, if you're like me, you like to entertain casually in the kitchen.
Yeah.
People hanging around. It's a place where people
see,
gather.
That feel-good thing
shut
again.
Shut up,
yeah,
you
yeah.
idiot.
Who needs it?
I got to hear from a bunch of gay guys that they like to hang out in the kitchen and they're casual. And everyone's just buying into it. And it's like, I believe your living room should look good, but it should be comfortable as well. Oh, really? Because I like to sit on sharpened
nails,
bamboo
nails.
Spears yes. that have hippo flop on them so I get infected. You ever seen my...
I saw it.
I got a sofa called the Burmese Tiger Trap. It's nothing but shards of bamboo with fecal matter on them. I like to be comfortable when I'm in my... Oh, shut up.
Was that really hippo flop? I just thought
that's
it was,
what
it was. Thought it was cow pie.
You know what I like to do? I like touches of nature. I like to bring them inside the... I like just a slab and a floor drain. Well, and a prison cot.
Be fair. It's kind of what you're talking about.
Like a monkey cage. Oh, please.
Right. Come on. What is it with us tonight?
All right.
We're
all
done
right.
with everybody. You know what? Last night screwed us up.
I'm done
the
with
TCA
everyone.
Thing.
We're done with all of you. All right. Take a quick break. Be right back after this. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm very honest about her lesbian.
Nobody, she was about lesbianism and where it came from in her.
All right, Drew and I, over the
you're a lesbian.
I don't know, over the weekend, I can't remember when I talked to this chick. Oh, you know what? This weekend I did these meet the press things for a couple of TV shows I'm doing. Drew did something like that too, and we met a chick from Tall magazine. Met the same lesbian who shared all her abuse survivor stories with us.
And her appreciation of the stuff we talk about.
And let me tell you my feeling about that in person, which is I like drawing it out of people when they just cough it up on me in person. It's like, oh boy.
I have a little different reaction because usually when they bring it out, it's like it's there, it's out. It's not going to be any weird or heavy stuff. It's just like, hey, I've dealt with this. Thank you for bringing it up. Make it top of people's mind.
Drew was just explaining that she was very... forthcoming about her lesbianism.
Well, not that she is a lesbian, but
she was 7 foot tall, and her hair, she had a haircut like
she was had the brutality that
George C. Scott had in Patton.
But the brutality that she'd experienced at the hands of men drove her into that, and now she's sort of much more fluid. It's like, yeah, she can be, you know,
she had a haircut like George Gobel.
Nice,
yeah. Remember, he always had that
horse
buzz cut.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Kim,
hello.
You're 17?
Yeah.
You're attracted to older men?
And women, yes.
Ooh. Anything you want to tell us?
What's up?
I don't know. It's weird. Like, everybody thinks it's a phase, but I don't know. Like, I'm attracted to them.
All right. Have you done anything with anybody?
Well, like, people my own age, yeah. But like,
boys and girls?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
All right. What up? Were you abused?
No, I wasn't. Physically, yeah. My mom for a while because she's an alcoholic and my
okay,
mom.
Okay,
that's abuse.
There you go.
All right, Kim.
Uh-huh.
There's a couple things I want to say very quickly. A, I'm a genius, so listen to what I have to say. B, we talk to people who say they've listened to the show for 10 years and then they're strung out on heroin and they're, you know, in prison and whatever. Please listen to what we have to tell you. You don't sound stupid. I don't get that from you at all. But you're troubled because of your past. You're going to act out. I know it's a kind of celebrity being a good-looking chick and being 17 and having your sort of pick of the litter with the guys and the girls and being able to do whatever you want. Society doesn't judge too much these days. How about you focus on just getting your grades going and going somewhere to college?
Oh, yeah, I got
and getting some therapy and not
what?
Acting out.
What's that?
I have a 4.0. I'm like an honor student.
She doesn't need to focus 4.0.
You
doesn't...
call back when it's a 10. Am I right, Drew? 4. Please. You wait till you get a 10.
Really? Only a four?
A four?
Sounds like it's way down the ladder.
Can't we go ahead and figure out this stuff? No. We just make everything a 10?
Not change it. No. But Kim, here's the deal. Then fine, get some help with this. If your school is together and you're not ready to go away to school, and God knows she may break it out of college even worse.
And look, there's certainly no rule that says smart people can't F up in their life.
Oh my goodness, happens all the time.
They go further.
Yeah.
Faster,
yes,
sometimes.
Yes, they put themselves. Hear about this girl that was on the hooking up show on ABC. She's a gynecologist and has this nefarious past.
What's hooking up?
It's a TV show on ABC.
Katie?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
I only watch modern Marvels. Go ahead, Katie. 16 and blowout. Can't get intimate with a lesbian partner?
No, I can't.
How old's your lesbian partner?
Most of them, they're like a year older than me.
Okay. Most of them, no wonder you can't get intimate. You don't have a partner.
No, I haven't been with anybody my own age or younger.
I'm just saying,
no.
Most of them, meaning you have multiple partners. That mean, how can you be intimate with multiple people? You need a partner.
No, it's not at the same time.
I'm just saying.
No.
Oh, Katie.
Katie, would you shut your pie hole for a second and just let somebody get through to you?
What?
You can't be intimate because you're not trying to be intimate. You're trying to have multiple partners, which defies intimacy.
No. What? Thanks, Anderson. What? All right, listen, Katie.
We'll have to call back tomorrow.
Find one partner and
stay
with the one partner.
That's intimacy.
I tried to do that.
How long were you with that person?
I was with them for like... I think about a year.
No.
All right.
And what happened? Well, you must have been 13.
No, it's been like, I've been with...
All right, this is
right.
Way more
well, here,
time for.
Okay, but here's the other thing, too. Then you're not ready.
Right.
Or it's not happening.
Right. Don't think by trying multiple times with multiple people, you're going to find intimacy, it's going to open up all of a sudden. No, it goes the other way. It's going to make it more difficult to be intimate.
All right. We'll take a break. Be right back. Yeah. Well, that's it. There you go. That's the show.
Good times.
God bless, and we'll see you cats tomorrow night. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
You're a nice 53-year-old guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a couple of gray pubes. That's all right, baby. Keep going. Remember, I'm your spiritual leader.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.